Good morning. It's really wonderful to be with you again today, and I just want to welcome all of you as you listen to the Word of the Lord today. And once again, thank you for your faithful giving to the Crown of Blessing. It's still ministering to so many people in other countries and in this country. People are coming to know Christ because of something so simple as the love of God shown through giving in material ways. And so thank you for giving. And I know you have an eternal harvest because of your faithfulness and the generosity of your heart. I was just thinking about a scripture in 2 Corinthians 8 that says that the Macedonians were going through a very severe trial, but they operated in a grace, in a level of favor in the midst of their trial, and they actually gave out of their extreme poverty, and God used that to bless others and, no doubt, enlarge their own situation. Because that's the way it works. When we minister to others, God ministers to us. And that's the mark of a mature Christian. Before we pray, I just like to encourage you all to reach out to other people in this season. As you know, the government restrictions kind of narrow your options for meeting other people. And generally speaking, if people are going to meet, they meet up with family or close friends. And it's a lot smaller circle of the number of people that you might ordinarily have significant contact with. But I'd like to encourage you to today just make a fresh decision to ask the Lord five people that you should contact today and throughout this week that you haven't been in touch with, maybe for the last month or two or three or for a long time, and just be a voice of joy and encouragement and gladness to them. And as you do so, you don't know what they're going through, experiencing, but that's all a part of being a mature Christian and also, once again, releasing grace into your life. And, you know, oftentimes in times of testing, people wander and they drift and dark thoughts come into their mind and they begin to kind of move away from their relationship with Christ because they don't have that sort of social contact. And some people who tend not to be very socially outgoing even have a greater struggle. And so they need to hear from you. They need someone to say, oh, I was thinking of you. I was praying for you. And I know that as you take this step, God will direct you and you will discover that your words hit the mark. And so if you would do that, I know that God would be pleased at your obedience. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that your eternal word continues to work in every circumstance and situation. Today, Lord, we are bearing record of so many testimonies that are coming of people who are experiencing you in wonderful ways. Thank you, Lord, that as the word of the Lord goes out today, that it will be just as it has always been through the centuries, something that brings forth the glory of your name and the miraculous power that changes people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing today, as you might well suspect, on our series From Faith to Faith in the Last Days, The Harvest of Miracles. And I'd like to begin by reading 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or as some translations say, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. He's a new creation. It doesn't say he's a revamped, he's the same person. It says he's a new creature, a new creation. And it says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what does that tell us? It tells us that God's in the business of creating people. Now, we understand this from a natural point of view. He started with creating mankind and creating Adam and then Eve, and he actually allows a man and a woman in conjunction with himself to create a child, and that child comes out of the womb, and that's a God and man creation. And as that child grows up, they are a person when they're an infant, but they're also becoming a person. And it is the parents' great challenge to develop that person so that they become what God intended them to become. And so this is something that is in creation design, and it's in redemption design. God's in the business of creating people. Well, you might say, well, how does that relate to faith? Well, I want to get into this today because I believe what God has done in making you a new creation is extremely important in relation to faith. And it has to do really with your identity as a faith miracle person. And I'd like to just kind of coin this phrase if I can. I've not heard it before, and so I'm taking credit for coining it, at least for today. But I believe God has made you a faith miracle person. And of course, those two things go together. Your faith is given to you so that miracles can come. The first miracle that came to you was the miracle of your salvation, and it came as a result of your faith. And so faith and the miraculous go together. So when you came into Christ, when you were birthed in Christ, God at that moment made you a faith miracle person. It wasn't the end. It was the ongoing part from the beginning of your development as that kind of person. Now, in a natural sense, when a child is born, other people shape your identity. They start off by giving you a name, because identity is both judicial and self-taught. In other words, it comes to you from others, but it is also something that you have a part in its development, as we'll see. Your identity is the most basic container of all the beliefs that you and other people have concerning who you are. And, you know, because of our history before we came to know Christ, we come into Christ with some wrong notions about who we are. And if we're unwilling to accept that we would have a new identity in Christ, then, of course, we stand in God's way and we stifle our development, and we ended up messing up our lives seriously. I was sharing with somebody the other day that how I first got started preaching. I went to Bible college, and as you know, I went to Bible college to train for the ministry. I didn't like people, but I had to sign up to a lot of different areas of responsibility. And so I signed up to work with the Skid Row Mission because my parents always reached out to people who were destitute and in trouble. And so I went, and on my first occasion to preach, because remember, this is a contradiction. I'm going to preach when I don't even like the people that I'm preaching to. So anyway, I go to preach, and it was what they call a Skid Row Mission that was in kind of the broken down area of the inner city, where lots of homeless people and addicts and alcoholics frequented and wandered the street, slept on the street. And so this particular mission was there in the heart of that part of the city, and the program was that you could come in off the street and you would get one night's accommodation and a hot meal if you would sit through a half-hour Christian service. And that was just kind of generally understood. And somebody was at the door to tell you that was the program. And it was kind of like the price of admission. So it wasn't long. It was my first time to ever do any preaching. And I had agonized over what I was going to say, but I had finally put it together, and I thought, and I stood there in front of this room that filled up with mostly men, some women, all of them fairly unlovely in their appearance or anything else about them, You can imagine you have a whole room full of people who haven't bathed or washed and have been sick and so on and so forth. The kind of scenario it is, but we're there to present the gospel, and so it was my turn. I had to preach for about 10 minutes, and then they would all rush back and get their first hot meal and so on. So it came time for me to speak. Well, I was very nervous, as you might expect. I'd never done this before. I was afraid I was going to run out of material or lose my train of thought or just mess up. You know, a lot of fears in my head. And so I started to speak. Well, I made a mistake of asking a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is a question you ask in a message or a speech or something that you want people to consider, but it's not necessarily that you're asking them, expecting them to give you a verbalized response. But I asked this rhetorical question. Well, one guy answered me straight up. Well, that kind of jarred me. He answered me. Well, then another guy answered me. He answered me something different. So I'm thinking, well, I lost control of this meeting. Well, it went from bad to worse. That guy disagreed with the other guy, and then two other guys jumped up, and they were disagreeing with them. And next thing you know, they started slugging each other, and I'm standing there thinking, well, how do I preach while this is going on? And so they're going at it, and finally the guy who ran the mission, he was a great big fella, huge fella, tall and burly, and he kind of knew what he was doing. And so he walked over and got the two principals by the scruff of the neck, frog marched them to the door and opened the door and pushed them onto the street and said, look, when you guys behave, you can come back. And then he turned around to me and said, okay, carry on. I was so shaken, I didn't really know where I was or where I was headed. So I mumbled a few things and closed in prayer, and they all made a rush for the back. I went outside and sat in the car, and my wife and I were just courting at that point, and we sat in my car, and I put my head on the steering wheel and I said, well, that's it. I'm not a preacher. I'll never do that again. I'm just not cut out for this. This just isn't me. And, you know, she was so encouraging. Well, you know, that's your first time, and it wasn't really the best place to learn. And, you know, she was trying to encourage me, and, you know, I wanted the encouragement, but I was pretty sure I knew this was not the road that I was meant for, because it had been so difficult, and it made me feel so awkward. Have you ever felt awkward? Well, if you haven't, keep breathing. So you can see my perception of myself as someone who would share the Word of God with people was based upon an experience and my own perception of the kind of person that I was. But that was not God's view, obviously. You wouldn't be hearing me today. And so I'm telling you that there is often a war between the kind of person you perceive yourself to be, based on a lot of things, and the one that God says you are. And in fact, the Bible is full of this type of story, where both Moses and Jeremiah were all self-deprecating. They had defined themselves, and however God defined them, it wasn't how they defined themselves. And in fact, God actually got angry with Moses, because he says, he was really in essence saying, God, you made me wrong. You know, if that's what you call me to do, you've made a mistake. That's not who I am. But of course, he's the potter, we're the clay. And it's good to remember that. And I'm sure you've had your contests. A few years ago, I was in a meeting in America. And at the close of the meeting, the pastor said, there was some woman who had a prophetic word for me. I'm used to giving people prophetic words when I travel, but not necessarily, receiving them. But if it happens, great, wonderful. So this woman came, and she started to prophesy to me. And she prophesied something to me really interesting. She said, God has made you, and you are a miracle man. You are a miracle man. You need to accept that you are a miracle man. And she said some other things, and And I begin to kind of reflect on that. I thought, well, you know, it's kind of a strange word. I know God has kind of used me from time to time in various areas, but I never saw myself as a miracle man. And I want to say to you today that at that point, and I kind of looked at myself again and thought, well, you know, I'm kind of an ordinary guy. If you took a knife and cut my hand, blood would come out of it. And, you know, I get tired and so on and so forth. There's a whole side of all of our lives where we're very ordinary. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is extraordinary. He's a new creation. And so I had to kind of really work with this in my mind, is that God has made me a miracle man. And I want to say to you today, as we look into this subject about identity and its relation to faith, that God has made you as a faith person, a faith miracle person, because those two things go together. He's given you faith, so there can be miracles. So those things are inseparable. If that's how God has made you, he has made you to be a faith person so you could be a miracle person. So you, regardless of what your history has been, regardless of what you how you've seen yourself, are a faith miracle person. You are a faith miracle person. I'd like you to say it wherever you are. I am a faith miracle person. I am a faith miracle person. One more time, I am a faith miracle person. That's how God, in one sense, defines and describes who you are in Christ. And, you know, when you come to know Christ, you get a brand new identity. When you get born, when you come out of your parents' womb, it was that day or a few days hence, you get a name. But when you come to know Christ, you get born again, and interestingly enough, you get a new name. You get a new name that is placed on you in baptism. You get baptized into the name of your heavenly family. And, you know, Ephesians 3 and verse 15 talks about the whole family in heaven and on earth. So it's one family, but some have already gone, and some were there, and some are on earth. So it's one family, but they all have the same name. So whatever earthly name you've got is been added to by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you got this new name. And as you know, your name is a serious part of your identity. Your identity is eternally pre-written description of who you are. In James chapter 1 and verse 23, it talks about if you look into the Word of God, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. God says, I have told you who you are. If you continue with your own wrong or human or earthly-based description, you won't be blessed. You won't walk in who you really are and the life, the power, and the miracles that are a part of being who you are in Christ. And, you know, I know what it is to step out of my identity. I'm sure you do. There are times when our faith is operating and good things are happening, miracles are taking place. But sometimes, you know, you can almost instinctively, without realizing what exactly it is you're doing, step out of your identity. About a year ago, I developed a condition on my body where I started itching. And then it came, my whole body came out in these red spots, kind of like a heightened mosquito bites, thousands of them across my body. And, you know, I was thinking naturally, I thought, so I told Marilee, my wife, and So, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's the detergent. She, well, that's a detergent I've been using. Well, we tried a bunch of other detergents. That didn't change anything. And, you know, when you're thinking earthly, you don't act heavenly. So, to make insult to injury, I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go see the doctor. I can't figure out what this is. And, you know, it's a funny notion that we have, that we somehow figure if we can figure something out, then we can get a handle on it. But there's a lot of things in life you can't figure out. So you need to figure it out, first of all, that if, even if you can't figure it out, you got to figure it out, because the short solution to it is the power of God. But anyway, I continue the story. I went to the doctor, and he said, well, take your shirt off. So I took my shirt off, and he said, So he says, yeah, that looks like, yeah, it looks like, he seemed to be very quizzical and puzzled by it. And so he said, well, here, have a look at this. So I moved around onto the next to the desk where he was, and he had his screen there, and he says, I think you have, and he named what the disease was, and he started scrolling through all of these visual pictures of this kind of condition. And he scrolled through, and he said, yeah, and it kind of looks like this. But, and you know, for other people, it might look a little bit like this. And then he scrolled something else. And we sat there, I don't know how long, while he was scrolling through all this stuff, saying, well, it might be this, but I think it's this. But, and I'm thinking, you don't know. I don't know. I am where I was before I came here. And he says, because I think it's this, he said, I'm going to give you some cream. But he didn't give me some cream. He gave me three creams. And so he says, now this one has got da, 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 and long words, and this one has this, and this one has this. And I want you to put this one on three times a day, this one twice a day, this one in certain parts of your body. Don't take this one longer than 5 days. Don't take this one longer than 3 days. And then start the cycle. Well, you know, I need an encyclopedia to keep this whole prescription. I thought, I'm going to need a full-time nurse just to operate three creams, and I'm going to end up with a, you know, body like a greased pig. So I was grateful for his efforts. However, I went out of there clueless as to what I had, or whether or not this would make any difference other than maybe to diminish the level of itching. But from the comments he made, you know, I was going to wear this condition until maybe my whole life, in at least in one of the descriptions he gave. So I went home, and I thought, okay, that wasn't help. In fact, if anything, that was discouraging. In other words, there wasn't any earthly solution. Well, I decided I needed to be who I am. So I said, okay, I'm going to deal with it like I have dealt with other things in my life journey. I haven't always succeeded in being who I am, but if there was a time right now in relation to this, I need to be who I am. I need to live what I believe. So every day I commanded this condition to go. In Jesus' name. I can tell you, it wasn't too long afterward where it did. It came, and it went. And it went just like it came. And you can say, well, you were lucky, Pastor. You were there. Oh, that's fine. I've never been lucky. But I believe that there's cause and effect. When you operate by faith in the Word of God, in who you are, and you act out of the resources that God has given you as a faith miracle person. And if Satan can persuade me or you to live or think about ourselves differently, then of course we just live as earthlings, as people who are limited by all circumstances and conditions like everybody else on the planet. We have no other recourse. And so if science can't fix us, or the government can't fix us, then we're stuck. But that is not who you are. That's not who I am. And you know, part of the great challenge of the Christian living is not only to believe God, but to go on believing Him and to apply your faith in every area of your life. And so I want to dig into this a little bit because it has a lot to do with how you perceive yourself. You were born again, you got baptized, you have the family name, you have a pre-written description of who you are that God has provided. You were adopted or placed as a son, and we'll get into that a little bit later. God's given you a new life plan than the one you planned. Jeremiah 29:11, you know that scripture very well. I know the plans that I have for you to give you a hope and a future, not sickness, poverty, and death. No, God's plan is a good plan. So if you're not living the good plan or the good life or the abundant life that John 10:10 talks about, you have to say, well, wait a minute, what's wrong here? God made me to be who I am, and if that condition is not who I am, I need to use my identity and my faith miracle capacity to deal with that so I can restore myself to be who I am. And the Bible says you have a new inheritance, you have a new nature that's consistent with the unique calling that has been placed on your life. You have a unique calling. No one else can be you. No one else can do in the way that God has designed the things that you were meant to do. But nevertheless, that's who you are. Your total identity in Christ is a faith-based identity. It's a faith-based identity. Now, I want to give you 43 aspects this morning very quickly of your faith-based identity so you and I can begin to envelop and take into ourselves and saturate ourselves with this. Because you see, identity is something that is developmental. Just like a child develops their own identity, you start off by calling them a name. If they're 43 years of age and they're struggling to know who their name is, somebody's done something wrong. And so the most basic thing is they get a name, and then a lot of things are added to that as the parents work with God to develop the inner life of that child and develop their unique identity as they grow up. And so I want us to understand how much faith is a part of your actual identity as a person. If you think faith is just something out here, it's a spiritual truth, I'm lucky if I happen to operate it, it's a rare thing. No. God made you a faith miracle person. If there's anybody on the planet that are faith miracle people, it's God's people. And that's you. And the lie of Satan is always to come after your identity so that you don't ever actually begin to square your shoulders and say, wait a minute, what God says is true. What the devil says is a lie. The earth doesn't understand. But I know who I am. I'm going to be who I am. And being who you are as a faith miracle person means you understand that the significance of where faith is in your whole life. So let me very quickly just give you, and I'm not going to take time to read all the verses, there's too many, but if you go onto the website, you can pick up the notes for this message and use those verses to begin to develop a heightened sense of who you are. Number one, your faith saves you. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. So you start off your faith, a miracle identity, with faith. Your faith heals you. Your faith quenches every satanic dart that's fired against you. That's what happens. When a dart comes, faith enables you to quench it according to the scripture. Faith gives you the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Once again, you are a faith miracle person. Faith upholds you in the times of trial, as you see there in 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat said, your faith will uphold you. It'll hold you up. It upholds you by holding you up. You know, sometimes we need to be held up. I don't mean stuck up or someone to hold you up with a weapon. but sometimes we need to be held up. Your faith makes you successful. Your faith causes the impossible to be done for you. And it causes the impossible to be done for you. Your faith enables you to live the righteous life of Christ. Your faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith. Your faith empowers you to do the miraculous. Wow. That's part of your faith miracle identity. Your faith purifies your heart. You know, oftentimes people feel shame and guilt, and the world, they go through lots of counseling and struggle to try to get rid of this. But it, when you take your faith and you apply it to what God said about you. I was ministering to somebody recently that was carrying shame. They were carrying shame. They were clothed with shame, just like it was, a thick coat they were wearing. But in a few moments, the word of the Lord came, and they believed the word of the Lord, and they took off those clothes of shame and put on the clothes of joy and gladness and peace. I want to say to you that your faith will help you change clothes. Your faith, and it sanctifies you. We are sanctified by faith, Acts 26 says. Sanctified, made clean before the Lord. And it's a lifelong process of, you know, sometimes you get dirty, but you come back to the sanctifier and you think, yeah, okay, God said he would cleanse me, he would wash me, he'd forgive me. And because I believe it, it's done. It's done. Your faith energizes your obedience. What is it that enables you to do what is right? It isn't just your will, it's your faith. It's your faith. Your faith enables you to encourage others and to be encouraged. The scriptures all go into these and state these things very explicitly and plainly and simply and clearly. And if you want to dig into this, I know it'll make a big difference into how you see yourself. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to see ourselves as faith miracle people, not just kind of, well, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just as weak as everyone else. And you know, when trouble comes, I'm just a slob. I just let it roll over me. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Your faith causes the righteousness of God to come to you. The Bible talks, it is by faith that righteousness comes. Righteousness comes, the right ways of God, right ways in attitude and in action. It is your faith that gives you complete justification before God, just as if you'd never sinned. That's how you stand before God. So often I've met believers who are still relating back to a history, a past that was certainly inglorious and maybe filled with some very significant failures and sins and shame-filled things. But you know, God says, no, you stand before me pure and clean as though it never happened. That's wonderful. That's something you accept as a faith miracle person. Because only until you step out of that can you step in to who you are and say, no, yesterday is gone. I forget yesterday. Source of wisdom, but I forget it. Then I get on. I get on to walk with Christ and to live for him. Your faith manifests the promises of God to you. That's why it's given to you. When you were saved, your faith caused the first miracle, the salvation miracle, to be manifested to you, and every subsequent. Your faith produces for you the Abrahamic blessing. I don't have time to go, but that's a great story in itself, a great truth. Your faith makes you a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Makes you a son. Wow. In other words, like Jesus. Gives you freedom and confidence in approaching God. You don't have to sneak up on the throne of grace. Your faith purifies your heart and it links you internally with God's mind and his presence. The mind of Christ is revealed to you and revealed in you by faith. You know, sometimes people wonder about the miracle of words of knowledge, getting information about somebody else that you wouldn't, from an earthly point of view, have. Well, not long ago, God gave me a word about somebody that I didn't even know at all. And so I said that, and it was confirmed that this was an accurate word. And where did that come from? That didn't come from my natural brain. I had no human access to that information. It was divine information. It was divine information. And, you know, as 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says, or 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says, what do you have that you didn't receive? So I can receive things that come from God simply because I believe Him. I believe Him. I'm a faith miracle person. You are a faith miracle person. Your faith provides the basis of your service to God. You're not trying to get approval by doing things. You're already approved. Your faith is the basis of your service. You're doing this as a desire to please the Lord by the exercise of your faith, because God loves and is pleased by faith. The whole of the Old Testament is a message that just trying to do things out of your own human energy to be approved by God is an absolute failure. But when you want to please God with your faith, that's what pleases Him. Your faith raises you to live up. Live up. As Ephesians 1 says, He has raised us up to live in heavenly places. I've lived too much of my life in earthly places. I don't like it so much. I like the heavenly places. I'm sure you do. Your faith gives you understanding you wouldn't otherwise have. I remember a man who said that he was struggling in school, and so he decided that because God knows everything and God could quicken his brain, that he would begin to meditate in the Word of God. He began to meditate in the Word of God because he believed that God could help him with anything and everything. And as a result, he went from failing to the top of his class. His faith released the miracle of expertise in study. You are a faith miracle person. And so there's the implications of all of this. Your faith grants you rewards. I like this. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that God is a rewarder. And that word there, reward, it's kind of difficult to understand because we don't think of God rewarded. We think, well, what's God rewarding me for? Well, it's actually a commercial term, refers to a transaction, a financial trend, like a financial trend. It's used in the commercial realm outside of the Christian realm in the first century. And he says this is like the payment. So when you believe God, that's your payment. And the reward is the miracle that comes. So you are a faith miracle person. That's why you have been given faith. When you go to the store, if you don't come with the currency, you don't get the stuff. But when you come to Christ, if you come with the currency, you get the stuff. He is a rewarder. He's a faithful rewarder. He releases to your inheritance, according to Hebrews 11, verse 8. Based on your faith. The miracles connected with your inheritance are based on your faith. You can make your home in a land of fulfilled promises, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 9. That's where I want to make my home. Fulfilled promises, not aspirations, dreams, hopes, desires. We all have those of a human sort. But God wants you to make your home in a place where you got so many testimonies, because so many promises, you've chosen to believe God, and the reward has come for your faith. It enables you to speak prophetic blessings. Prophetic blessings. Wow. There is in your mouth words that can go forth because you believe, that can make someone else walk in a level of grace and faith that they wouldn't otherwise walk. Keeps you from fear. Keeps you from fear. And I'm just going through these very quickly here, and like I say, each one of these is a couple dozen messages, but I want you to see how God has made you and I a faith miracle person. Your faith conquers kingdoms for you. Conquers kingdoms. Provides wisdom for decision making. Gains for you what was promised. Shuts the mouth of consuming danger. I've seen this so many times where our trust was in the Lord and He saved us from danger. you know, in this COVID time in our world, what will save you from danger is not a mask, not social distancing. And I'm not against those. Wear a mask, do what you're supposed to according to the law of the land. But what is ultimately going to save you is what quenches every fiery dart, and that is your faith. That's your faith. Extinguishes the flames of destruction, Hebrews 11 says. Enables you to escape from death. God doesn't want to call you home before your assignment is finished. It turns your weakness into strength. You've ever been weak? I have. But when I come back to the word of the Lord, when I come back to God's word, and when I hear his voice, it's amazing what happens to you. Something comes up inside of you, and you start to think, yeah, I'm not lying down anymore. I'm kicking something in the teeth. Your faith enables your weakness to turn to strength. That's the best way to live, is being strong. Your faith makes you powerful in battle, routing your enemies. I remember a circumstance some years ago in our family, and I didn't have any human answers. I couldn't fix the situation that was really distressing me, but I decided to go to somebody in faith. And you know, in less than 24 hours, he radically turned that situation around. I'll never forget it. I want to tell you, God makes you powerful in battle when you use your weapons, when you act out of who you are as a faith miracle person. Brings resurrection from the dead. When things you thought were dead, God can bring them back. When it doesn't seem like that's going to ever happen again, God can bring them back. You know, all of these things are actualized, experienced, and manifested by the exercise of your faith. And so, you know, we ought to live like who we are. You know, a plumber should act like a plumber. If you have a problem with the plumbing and you call a plumber and he comes in and he's got the uniform on, he's from Acme Plumbing, and he's supposed to fix the leaks in your house, but he stands there and says, yeah, you got a leak. You say, what? Aren't you a plumber? Yeah, I'm a plumber. Well, get on. Get on and fix the problem. Fix the problem. Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. Look, I'm going to call somebody else because you're obviously not acting out of who you are. You're kind of an observing plumber. You're not an actual plumber. And the same for us as Christians. God expects us to actually do the plumbing when there's a problem. He actually expects us to fix things that need to be fixed. Because we have the training, we have the identity, that's who we are. We wear the clothes, we are the person who is the faith miracle person. You know, if you had clothing, you'd have that stitched into it. I'm a faith miracle person because I'm a son of God. I am a son of God according to the word of God. And you know, this issue is a pretty significant issue because this is where Satan attacked Jesus. He said, you know, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. In other words, he was trying to create doubt that Jesus who was who he really was. And I want to tell you that as a believer, God has made you forever a faith miracle person. And you will never, ever, ever, ever feel comfortable, truly comfortable living a lie. In other words, being someone who just accepts the status quo and whatever it is, it is. And I want to tell you, I've kind of listed here very quickly sometimes some of the lies that Satan tells us so that you will not rise up and be the faith miracle person God meant you to be. Sometimes Satan says you cannot get the grades you want or need. Sometimes Satan says you cannot make a good profit from your business. You cannot secure by miraculous means what you need for yourself or your family. You cannot buy or secure your own home. You cannot be happily married. You cannot have children. You cannot get well. You cannot advance in your profession. You cannot get out of debt. You cannot overcome some habit or addiction. You cannot be a good person that others love and respect. You cannot get through this current set of circumstances without suffering shame or unimaginable loss, whatever that circumstance is. And I want to say to you today, that's a lie. These are the lies that the devil tells. You cannot buy a car that runs well. I have so many stories for all of these, and I'm so familiar with these lies, as I'm sure you are familiar with some of these. You cannot afford to educate your children. That won't happen. You cannot have a fruitful, fun, productive retirement. You cannot go on holiday. You cannot make friends that will last a lifetime. You cannot raise your children to do well. You cannot make a good marriage out of your marriage. You cannot have joy and laughter in these dark times in this world. Your looks hold you back. Your educational lack holds you back. Your mental capacity holds you back. Your personality holds you back. Your speaking capacity or inability, as you perceive it, holds you back. Your unemployment history holds you back. Your history, both known and unknown by others, holds you back. Your lack of whatever, and you fill in the blank, holds you back from going forward. You will suffer, the devil says, whatever the rest of the world suffers, as that's just the way it is. Don't think you will be any different. Circumstances, the devil says, are beyond your control. Satan tells you that you are a failure at being simply who you are. But I'd like to say to you today, behind every one of those lies, and they're lies, you believe them, they become the truth for you. That's where you live. But if you discern that's the liar that's speaking to you with all those cannots and have-nots and will-nots, you discern where they're coming from. You didn't manufacture them so you could be stuck and miserable. They came from a source. They came to keep you from ever squaring your shoulders and saying, I'm a faith miracle person. I'm not taking this lying down. And so behind every one of those lies is a set of miracles that reveals the faith miracle person that you are. You are called to be the contradicting faith miracle person that God made you to be. That's the person that you're called to be. Because God has placed you as his son. You're not a defective son or daughter. You're not somebody who's just weak. No, that's why the Bible gives us command in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That might is your might. That might is in you. It's not just kind of out there somewhere. It's yours. And as we close today, I want to encourage you to take a piece of paper and write down the specific lies that Satan has told you. And maybe nobody else knows these lies, but you know, because as you've listened to the word of the Lord today, you have already discerned, oh yeah, that's the lie I've been listening to. That's the lie. But some of them I laid out for you. Write all the lies that he has told you on a piece of paper. And then take it out in the back garden or wherever it's safe and take a match and light it. Burn it up. And then come back in and get the truth that sets you free, that takes you back into who you are. Just as I had to get back into who I was when the doctor said, well, that's basically incurable, and if you need to do this and this and this and this. And I don't know if that's right. No. I needed to be who I am. You need to be who you are. You are a faith miracle person. And I want to pray for you as we close today that you'll step into your identity. You'll square your shoulders. You'll stand up and be who you are and where you are and what God has made you in Christ, a faith miracle person. You say, but Pastor, you know, I haven't really walked this way. Well, you're going to start today moving just like a child develops level upon level, and from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You are developing, you're changing, you are becoming more who God has made you to be. It's in you to be who God's made you to be. Just as this young man had determined, no, preaching is not for me. God said, no, I got something else in mind. And when I accepted what he accepted, and I said, okay, I'm gonna walk with him. He'll help me, and I'll grow. And that's why you're hearing the message today, is because God made me to be a faith miracle person, and he brought me out of the wrong notions of who I was and who the devil insinuated I was and discouraged me from being. He brought me out of that, and today that's what God's doing with you. He's drawing you, lifting you up to be who he made you to be. Your identity in Christ as a faith miracle person. Father, thank you today that you touch our hearts in the depths of our being, and you cause us to begin to see our lives differently and the circumstances that surround us differently. And we stop being victims and subject to. And we start believing and speaking and being who we are. Lord, I remember one of the sisters in our congregation just recently said that she was struggling with discouragement in her workplace, but as she got to work, she began to rehearse who she was, and she got there only to be shocked and surprised and amazed that they wanted to promote her. Thank you for the other testimony that came also this week of a man who was actually promoted, as the word of the Lord was earlier this year, into a position he didn't think he could achieve, but already you're giving him grace to be who he is, that he never ever thought he could be or would be. And thank you today that that grace flows from the throne of grace today, even now, into the hearts and minds of your people, that they will be who you made them to be. They will go beyond where they've been to new heights, new levels, to become all that you made them to be. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. Amen. Don't forget your assignment to reach out to others this week and to take those lies and burn them up and replace them with the truth of God's word. God bless you as you listen to the songs today, as you rejoice in him, and as you reach out to share the love of Christ and the encouragement that you have within you into the lives of others. God bless you.